So we pray, Heavenly Father, we know that there was great admonition given by Jesus Christ, and therefore to us when he spoke to the people, saying that the cares of this world can rip away that sown seed and thereby be a failure of the word in our lives. We just ask you sincerely that we let not the enemy or the dark parts of life or our own desires or anything whatsoever stunt the growth or take away the seed that you have given us at this hour, that it may come forth in our lives 30, 60, or 100-fold. We may mature with it, Lord, and be gathered as wheat into that garner. We know the days are short. We know times are very serious. We know that there are things going on of which we have barely an inkling, and yet we really do not know. But we know from Scripture these great things are coming upon the earth, and yet you told us, lift up our heads and rejoice, our redemption draweth nigh. In fact, our redemption is here. We've received the shout, waiting for the voice to bring forth the dead. So, Father, help us to be very, very sincere concerning the word, and especially sincere concerning this message, as we know it was given as the last message to the world by a vindicated prophet. We commend ourselves to you tonight, Father, for the Holy Spirit to burn this deep within our minds and right down into our souls until the soul becomes thoroughly saturated and one with it, and the life coming forth be the same. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now we're on number 28 of leadership, and since this is actually the last message that Brother Branham preached as a prophet to the world, it seems strange that he places so much emphasis on women's dress rather than putting emphasis upon the opening of the seals and the thunders. Now, you'll notice that Brother Branham preached to many sermons several times. There are sermons like this one that he preached in different occasions. I think the one that he preached most numerously, greater than Solomon, is here. But he never did repeat the church ages or the seven seals. Actually, the opening of the seven seals and the thunders was just the opening of the door to the rest of the messages, of which this is one that came forth as under the seventh seal and the seven thunders. But in the light of the depth of the doctrine, and this type of preaching is simply called a closed horse religion, it is very hard for the Pentecostals to receive this as though this is something pertinent. And yet Brother Branham answered their question when Brother Branham was questioned by their officers, why don't you teach in spiritual things like gifts? And he said, how can you teach them algebra when they don't even know their ABCs? Which is perfectly correct, because the algebra works by letters and by numbers. He answered their question also based on the grounds of a vision, which was a composite, and part of the composite vision was the prophet was fishing, and a bunch of people around him were fishing, and Brother Branham, of course, was an outstanding hunter and fisherman, having won trophies and so on. And they were saying, Brother Branham, you know how to fish, teach us to fish. And he told them just how you get the lure ready and you bait it, whatever you're using as the lure, whether live worm or something else, and how you throw it out just a ways and give it just a little pull to attract the small fish, and then you pull a little faster to get the bigger ones attracted as the little fish are coming around, and you wait for the big bite, and then you give the line a jerk to set the hook in the fish's mouth, and you get the fish out. Well, he got so excited he forgot his own advice, and he gave the line a jerk, and he said the fish was just about only enough to cover the lure. And as he was all tangled up on the lines and making a mess of things, the vision changed to where the line had turned into a quite a heavy lace, and he was trying to lace a tiny baby's booty. And, of course, the angel said, well, you got the wrong end. So he showed him the small end, which would go through. And the word of the Lord came, you can't teach Pentecostal babies spiritual things, which really would be doctrine. So Brother Branham, in his last message, is telling them in the barest and shortest way, the most telling way he can, that he can walk into the building and automatically know who is there. It's no longer taking every spirit under control. It's no longer necessary to see if there's a welcoming spirit in the prayer line. He preaches this sermon, and this sermon ends it, meaning that this sermon is the one that will go down at the white throne, particularly judging the Pentecostals, which claim to be the richest and the greatest. And, of course, according to the time of the church ages, until the prophet came on the scene, they did have the greatest light. They were far ahead of Luther, as Luther was head of the Catholic Church, as far ahead of Wesley, as Wesley was of the Lutheran Church. Now Brother Branham comes on the scene, the Seventh Church Age, to complete the word, and it's turned down. So, this message seems strange, that this would be the last message preached by Brother Branham, because he places so much emphasis on women's dress. Of course, it's not strange to us who understand, because we realize that the woman represents the church, and the woman's condition places the condition of the church today, even as Israel is God's timepiece and tells us where we are historically. Now, we're looking at two things, of course, in the woman's dress. One is that she wants to be completely uncovered. She's vaunting her feminine attributes, for one thing, to be a trap unto man, to bring about complete degradation. The next thing, she's taking men's clothes, which is creating an atmosphere so entirely different from her own essential sexuality that she's turning more masculine than she is feminine. And we see that everywhere. We looked at the sports in the Olympics, and we saw women that were very strong like men, and we surmised that the Russians weren't giving a rip as to destroying them. They were giving them steroids. Today, the women don't need to take steroids. They're getting big muscled. Their femininity is all but gone. There's something in their hearts want them to still be mothers, but they're really not fit to be mothers, because there was only a pair in the Garden of Eden, to be fruitful and multiply. The woman, of course, was to be fruitful, bearing the fruit, but she was to go to her husband for that. So we see that the church today is in a most disreputable condition. As you look at women, how they are dressing, their dress is entirely inappropriate and certainly against the Word of God. So Brother Branham preaching here, we have two very definite principles. One, in order to know where the church is and the condition it's in, watch the so-called Christian women, because they're supposed to represent the bride of Christ. And Brother Branham's vision, the so-called bride of Christ, when he came to America, she was stripped naked, except for some kind of a hula skirt, which was made out of paper, a shredded paper, which was filthy and dirty, and she looked like anything except what maybe the cat would have dragged in and attempt to bury. She was disreputable, and he literally cried to think, is this the best that America could give? Europe wasn't quite as bad. But don't get the idea that because of that vision, Europe isn't bad. Because over in Sweden and Norway, You would see things in their windows, according to Joe Bose, that if you had the same thing in a back alley here in America, you'd be picked up and thrown in jail. So the whole world is corrupt. But America, of course, is most corrupt because the light shone and they refused the light. And how great then was their darkness. Now, to know what time it is on God's calendar, we watch Israel as a nation and see how she is actually responding to the scripture, if indeed she is. And she is, but she doesn't even know it. Just as it was back in the days of Israel, when Christ was on earth, the scripture was fulfilled, having eyes to see and see not, and ears to hear and hear not, neither do they understand. And we have the same thing going on because Israel is still blinded. And so what Israel cannot gain by trusting God, in whom she should have put her trust, and could have put her trust, she now has to parlay any type of success she may desire to have through politics. And it's her politics that started this year with 666, May the 6th, 1994, that where the Catholics have now admitted that they did wrong by not helping the Jews during the time of Hitler. In fact, Pope Pius, I think he was the Pope at that time, it's my understanding, though they try to cover it up, he did everything he could to more or less stand back and pretend nothing was going on. I understand Roosevelt did the same thing, so America is also going to turn on the Jews because the seeds are there. So what they're doing is going into political detentes and arrangements rather than trust the living God. Now, they've never trusted the living God. You notice when they had the chance to be in the Holy Land, as we call it, the Promised Land. God took them in there under a high and mighty hand. The first thing we have is a fellow named Achan who decided to steal a Babylonish garment and a wedge of silver. He deliberately entered in and took some of the valuable things of that land. Well, you notice that's what the church did in 325 A.D., at the time of Constantine, the church reached his hand out for the wedge of silver and the Babylonian garment and just wallowed right into it. Now, had Israel kept clear and killed off every one of the people. Now, this sounds pretty tough, but look, the Bible's a Bible. God is God. There's going to be white throne judgment. There's going to be a hell that may last for trillions of years. There's going to be an annihilation. And if you don't like it, drop dead. It's just your tough luck. We're not here to gild the lily. We're here to tell you the truth. And so, therefore, he said, destroy utterly. And he could have raised up, if they'd listened, there could have been raised up a genetically pure race. Because there'd been nothing to it. That's why illegitimacy is where a Jew would take a Gentile woman. It wasn't that the child was illegitimate in the sense of anything promiscuous. It wasn't that at all. It was a fact that he should not have had that woman. Why? Because the genes God had put in special bodies and the other genes were not there. In other words, it's the same as Adam and Eve. The genes were there and we have the serpent that was able to mingle and mix and so the genes mixed. And therefore you have a complete hybrid soul. You have therefore a hybrid mind. You have a hybrid body. You're in a place which is literally billions of miles from God. And the fact of the matter is, under those conditions, even though we were put here in bodies that were to be tempted, how marvelous it would be if we had truly human bodies that weren't so full of the animal instincts and the beast that we could just respond to a true human body. Well, Israel didn't want that. They went haywire. And what I'm trying to show you is they're doing the same thing even now. Brother Branham admitted that Zionism got him over there. It wasn't God that did it, but he said God was behind it. Why? Because Israel would not go to the spiritual, they went to the political. And who is it that controls the money today? Who has the bonds? Who has the paper? Israel does. Israel has it. But who's got the gold? And so when the time comes, when the money falls apart, which it will, and commerce is now as it is. Not like Cuba. Cuba is not even a little drop in a bucket. Cuba could call in the money Almost any nation could call in its money and change, but not America. Where the industry and the world is run by American money, about 74 to 77%. Now, they're talking as though that the European dollar is going to begin to take over. I don't find one place where the Bible says it, because I don't find one place where Brother Branham says it. I find Brother Branham said, instead of calling the money in America, America, building the image to the beast, is going to join hands with the dollar, and America does not even own its own dollar. If you tell me that the that our Federal Reserve is an American government institution, you simply don't know your history. It was voted out of the hands of the American government many years ago, and I understand Alexander Hamilton was a guy that was behind it to go into an international money scheme. So you've got this whole world system, like I said before, about GATT. It makes me laugh. GATT could be a marvelous thing. All you got to get in the morning and start pounding nails and go to work and start producing. While these other guys stay in there and soon have a cup of tea. Is it 9 o'clock? I might get up by 10. I mean, while the Germans got up after the war at 5 in the morning hammering nails, what did the English do? They lay in bed waiting for someone to bring them tea. And let's face it. So you've got courts that'll say, now just a minute, they're going to say the same thing they're saying today. Now, please don't judge these people, they say, and call them immoral because they kill, they steal, they rape, and do these bad things. They're not immoral. They're wonderful people. The trouble is they haven't had any money. They haven't had it easy. I'm not lying to you. That's what they're saying. You know it's the truth. The courts are corrupt. Everything's corrupt. Clinton, Kennedy, name it. And the guys that call themselves Christians are no more Christian than a bucket of beans. See? So what you got is a terrible political, unchristian, unholy, so-called civilization, church, politics, everything, right in this hour. And Brother Branham is giving a simple message to the church. He said, if you want to know the condition of the church, watch the women. And the women are getting very happy because they think they've got liberation. They think they're going to talk the Pope into having priests and taking confession like the stupid Protestants are doing. A woman cannot handle the Word of God. She's cursed. That's right. Let her try to handle it. Doesn't mean she can't talk to her husband and talk the Word. I'm just saying she has no partisan office in the church. None whatever. It's been denied her. Because Eve was the one that caused every death, every sick child, every pain. Every eye that's going blind in this building, every back that's suffering, every nerve that's on edge. Eve did it. That's why he called her the prostitute Eve. You'll think I'm a woman hater. No, I ain't. There's a little Virgin Mary one day. She said, be it unto me according to thy word. Turned her right around. Going to be a bride standing there. Be it unto me according to thy word. The rest of the world's turning it down. You got to understand these things. This is the last message this man's preaching. See? So Israel's gone entirely political. And the church is entirely political. They don't have one spiritual revelation that's correct. It's all been inundated by creeds and dogmas. And I'm not saying, let's get this flat and understand it. I stand just where Jesus stood 2,000 years ago and William Branham stands today. Jesus did not say that they didn't start out right. And William Branham did not say they did not start out right. And I'm not saying they did not start out right. I'm saying they started out right. And they went haywire. A little leaven leavened the whole lump. The grain of mustard seed, least of all seeds. The Christian faith grew to be the faith that took over the whole world, and people are thinking and wondering about the Muslim. Forget about the Muslim. We can knock him on the head so fast he hasn't got a prayer. America made a big sin when it stopped Israel from forcing them out of the land entirely. And I'm not bloodthirsty. I'm just telling you, what right did we have to step in? Didn't they say to Israel, we're going to drown you? Didn't you see the film on the Six-Day War? Didn't you hear all the war chants going on? They're going to put him in the sea. They're going to destroy him. I hold Adenauer said it right. It's a stupid calf that picks its own butcher. That's America. That's America. You bet your sweet life. Brother, I'm going to tell you, when judgment hits, you watch America. You watch. He had the prophet here. God came down, had his picture taken. See? So you look at this end time sermon. He's not telling the people a million things. He's stating their condition and telling them he can walk into a building. And he knows what that church has right now, looking at the women. See? Now be very careful to see and remember just the things Brother Branham said about women and the condition of the church. One, you can tell who are in the election by the women's dress. And when you see the women's dress, you know the men off on the doctrine. Oh, I don't believe that. You don't have to believe anything. Nobody asked you to. Do anything you want. Number two, such ill-dressed or unscripturally dressed women designate that the holy baptism is missing. You ain't got it. By the way, you can't tell a book by its cover. I got news for you. You can if the prophet said so. Amen. That's thus saith the Lord. Not some jackass idiot philosopher that palms himself as an erudite educationist. And thereby thinks he's spiritual. Spiritual, my foot. As old Dr. Buckman said, you get colder by degrees. Your PhDs and your DDs and everything else. Their dress signifies there is no genuine baptism with the Holy Ghost. It is missing. In spite of gifts and other open displays of scriptural promises. Just the same as when Judas was a devil and cast out devils. Now, you'll notice what I've just said as I go to page 34 and begin reading on 241. Now you are taking the thinking man's filter, Jesus Christ. Remember, he's talking about the thinking man's filter. If you are a thinking man, that means right now that people are in a position where they cannot think. If you cannot think, what is motivating you? Huh? It's a nice question. How brainy are these so-called people? What do they really have? After all the years proven that Darwin repented knowing he was wrong, they still quote him. And make him as though he had not recanted. And it's historically true that Jesus did what he did. And proven through an end time prophet, it means nothing. So tell me, can they think? The answer is no, they cannot think. As we understand true thought processes, they got holes in their heads. In plain English, there are things missing in their mental processes whereby they cannot think. Because as a Christian, you must think. Think on these things. The Christian is the only one who is sane, who has mental faculties and the processes of thinking. You take the thinking man's filter, Jesus Christ the Word. Now here's what you're looking at. He said, if you take the thinking man's filter, if you're going to run everything through Jesus Christ who is the Word. Now notice that Brother Branham does not say you run everything through Jesus Christ and stop there. He says, Jesus Christ, the Word. We are looking at a definition. We are looking at a principle, a concept. But within the concept, there is a limitation. As we might say, 100 people are here. We've got $10 for 10 of them. Now, what's the catch? They got to be redhead. So if you're blonde or brunette, you're out of luck. So when we talk about Christ, we talk about the Word. Rhema Logos. We do not separate one from the other. Our definition of Christ is not a man, period. It is Word. We'll get to that, don't worry. Just a few minutes down here. I get to my notes. Hey? Now, let's go over here to Colossians, the 3rd chapter. We'll begin to read a few scriptures just so we get our hearts full of the Word. 15-17, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also you are called in one body, and be you thankful. You're called into one body to come to a unique peace. The whole body at rest in Christ and with Christ the headship. See? Read again, let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which you're also called in one body, and be you thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom. It doesn't just say dwell in you richly. It says in all wisdom. See? The wisdom of the just, that's part of the scripture. Part of Isaiah. Actually, it's over here in the 1st chapter of the book of Luke on the ministry of John. And it tells you should go, verse 17, you should go before the Lord God of Israel in the spirit and power of Elijah to turn the hearts of the fathers to the children, even the disobedient to the wisdom of the just. There's a wisdom of the just that is contained in Scripture. And you cannot find it, though you try hard. And you weep, you cry, you search. And you lacerate, you cut yourself, you fast. And you'll die. You can only get it one way. And that's the way that God ordained it right here by the prophet John. He was the one that opened the door to the wisdom of the just, to make ready a people prepared for the Lord. The people were prepared, but they weren't ready. And if they hadn't had what came from John, which thoroughly disoriented them and took them entirely away from what they once had, they would not have been dressed. They would not have had it. So, all right. We were looking at Colossians, the 3rd chapter, and we read 15. 16 said, let the word of God dwell in you richly in all wisdom. In other words, the true riches of Christ are made known by this very definitive wisdom that comes by a prophet, as it came by John. Because remember, Paul was back there as that prophet that could suffice in this very condition we're talking about. But by the time he went off the scene, this was leaving the church. The peace and all those great things were going, a teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. What is he saying? He is saying that you are not like the politicians who have a wrong answer for everything. All of your answers come from the Word. You don't need a psychiatrist, psychologist, just this kind of a guy or that kind of a guy, or some fancy preacher with long words and settles your problems in a way that's unscriptural. The congregation has the ability to settle every problem within itself through the Word of God if they just begin to apply. Where does this congregation stand tonight? I'm not judging you. I'm just asking a question. Now, you got to do something with it. And whatever you do, you do in word or deed. In other words, as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in the Spirit. Do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God and the Father by Him. Many people do many things in the name of the Lord Jesus and bypass the Word entirely. If you don't believe it, just pick up some magazines and read these advertisements where it says, Jesus said, all things are possible. Send me $100 and I'll show you how to get it. Notice over in the book of Galatians. And we're looking at the 4th chapter. I can find the right verses here. Well, I don't want to read them all. If I had them all written, I had a large number written down here. And I can't quite throw my eyes on the word that I want exactly. To read you the right word, but the same thought holds in there where that it is the word that we actually must have in their lives by proper revelation, which is an passive faith and an active faith which comes forth from it, and it's all based upon the word of Almighty God. But I do know over here in Colossians, the 2nd chapter, you can find that one. It was going to be too long to read it anyway. The whole was going to read about 25 verses. I won't do that. In the 6th verse, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in Him. Watch. Rooted and built up in Him and established in the faith. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. As you have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. So notice, the people who are truly bride thank God for this word as they thank Him for nothing else. Now, let's go to the next paragraph, 242. If the Holy Spirit isn't there, now watch, if the Holy Spirit isn't there, oh, well, I don't think that means anything and it makes any difference. Look what you've done right there. All right, now, he's talking about women's dress. He's talking about a congregation of women coming into that place, that sanctuary, as I explained last time, that many worshipers are not believers. They worship a god of their imagination any way they want to worship. But they're not believers because they have not had the word revealed to them, so they're not believers. Now, and the men, of course, are not standing for the word, or the church would be different. And that starts with the pulpit. If the Holy Spirit isn't there, the response is, and this response came from these people sitting there, what's clothes got to do with it? Well, if that's the case, why not take them all off? That's what they're doing. Well, why not pull them all on? That's what they're doing, men's clothes. So they sit right there. And the men as deacon, elders, and pastors allowed. So as soon as we ordain women, right away, the women like their high heels and their floozy-looking clothes. They tiptoe across the platform looking goosey-goosey, pretty-pretty, sexy-sexy. And don't think Amy Semple McPherson was any kind of a virgin. I finally found out her history. Any woman here with a colored past would never touch her unless you live maybe a few lifetimes. Boy, was she anointed. Yeah, she was. just like Judas. Absolutely. Magnetic, dynamic. Think it over. Think it over. I went to a Bible school conference one time with a friend of mine. They hated Pentecostals. That was Pentecostal. And they knew some of us weirdos were sitting there. And so the great Dr. Maxwell, one of the greatest men living, Three Hills, Alberta, God knows what, dead as a doornail. You know why? Because the Christian Missionary Alliance had called speaking in tongues of the devil. It was on their church program. So what kind of Holy Ghost did he have? And he stood up and they say, now these Pentecostal people, he said, they say they're full of the Holy Ghost speaking in tongues because they win souls. He said, that's no evidence. Then turned right around and said, now look at these great men over here like Billy Sunday and all. They never spoke in tongues and they won souls. Don't tell me winning all those souls means they don't have the Holy Ghost. He contradicted himself. I punched my friend. I said, did you hear that? He said, what? I said, he contradicted himself. They win souls and ain't got the Holy Ghost over here. They win souls over here and do got the Holy Ghost. He said, yeah, I never thought of that. Talk about stupid. He was the guy who thought he was so smart any time he wanted, he could have taken my girlfriend away from me. She liked him like she liked a skunk at a garden party, but he thought he was God's gift to women. Well, maybe he was to different kind of women. I'm going to argue that. That's up to him. If you know what I mean. And I suppose you do. Now he says, oh, well, that doesn't mean any different. That's nothing. What does that mean anyway? Look what you've done right there. Now watch. Same thing that Eve did. So, Eve was not full of the Holy Ghost. Mm-mm. Now, she was innocent, but she wasn't righteous. She was not full of the Holy Spirit. But she was responsible to live the Word. Uh-huh. Yeah. She was responsible to live that Word. Let's just take a little look at Romans 2, 13-16. And in there we read, for not the hearers of the law are just before God, but the doers of the law shall be justified. For when the Gentiles, which have not the law, do by nature the things contained in the law, these having not the law are a law unto themselves, which show the work of the law written in their hearts, their conscience also bearing witness, and their thoughts the meanwhile accusing or else excusing one another. Now watch what Paul says. In the day when God shall judge the secrets of men by Jesus Christ, according to my gospel. So, when you talk about judgment, you talk about Christ, you cannot get away from the fact of that word. And so Brother Branham says, if the Holy Ghost isn't there, you'll just say, well, look, what does it matter how they dress? What has dress got to do with it? Or like that smart brethren woman who said, well, when you dress like George, I'll dress like Martha. Ho, 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 big joke. Why, that'd make Santa Claus whip his reindeer and go twice as fast. He gets so happy. Yeah, that's the brethren. Where are they today? They might as well buy some black hats or something, or pantaloons. Now, they tell me the Salvation Army doesn't baptize in water, so they use uniforms. I don't know how true it is. What's that got to do with it? How chaste do some Roman Catholics become by wearing the cloth? Have you read your papers recently about the last guy that got picked up trying to flee the country? Another perverted homosexual. The Catholic Church defends this unscriptural word, which at one time they did not believe, but believed the Bible, that priests should marry. In fact, I don't know how you could be an elder or a deacon and visit anywhere and not be married and take your wife with you. Unless you want to get in a mess, and believe me, you will get in a mess. As a friend of mine, I well know, she phoned him. So he came and knocked at the door, and she couldn't get out of bed because she was indisposed. So he came in the door, and this woman didn't know that his wife was with him, and she was exposed. But when she saw his wife, she disposed to no longer be exposed. Huh? Nice people. Yeah, you get off the word? You sure aren't on God's railway. You get off that word. Eve was responsible. The world's responsible. Now let's go a little further. Now let's leave that man there that didn't use the thinking man's filter. He refused to accept the leadership of Christ, Jesus, and eternal life. Now I believe Jesus Christ and eternal life in this particular case are almost an apposition, but you don't have to make it that way. It's all right. Now, Paul here, Brother Branham here, is judging the church by what he sees contrary to Scripture. And he sees a church that has left the leadership of Jesus Christ and thereby left eternal life. Now, we might go to John 5. In order to look a little bit at this, because we're taking our time, 37 to 39, and the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Ye have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. And ye have not his word abiding in you. For whom he hath sent, him you believe not. So if the word was there, there would be a natural affinity to receive whomsoever God sent. Because if God himself came, wouldn't do you any good. Because you can't see him. You can't hear him. You can't taste him. You can't feel him. Now you might suddenly get aware of something, but that ain't going to do you any good. What if you felt aware of something and you didn't know what you're aware of and you thought this was a good thing? It was a rattlesnake coiled to bite you. And you thought, because there's hummingbirds around there, that awareness you suddenly picked up was a hummingbird is going to come back. Better still, a Gila monster. One bite from him and you're gone. So this is pretty tricky. So he says right here, if you don't have that word in you, there's no way that you are possibly going to receive from God. Now he continues, and watch. And the Father himself which has sent me hath borne witness of me. Now that's vindication. You have neither heard his voice at any time nor seen his shape. Now, that puts him out of the picture. As any relationship you and I might have to do with him, so he's completely the unknown God. And you have not his word abiding in you, for whom he has sent you believe him not. Now, search the Scriptures, for in them you think you have eternal life, and they are they which testify of me. Now, he tells you right here that if you search the Scripture and you have that Word in you, Brother Branham called it a gene, the part of the Word, soul from God, you will be able to identify this one in Scripture. See? Now, this is a very tough proposition here. Now, what I want you to do here is take this Scripture that Brother Branham used and apply it to this sermon here. And you're going to have Brother Branham, well, let's go a little further. And you will not come to me that you might have life. I receive not honor from men. But I know you that you have not the love of God in you. Now, they can't have the love of God in them because their hearts aren't circumcised. Their hearts have waxed gross. Hardened. Encased in unbelief and sin. Now, I'm come in my Father's name and you receive me not. If another shall come in his own name, him you shall receive. How can you believe which receive honor one of another and seek not the honor that cometh from God only? Now, what is the honor that comes from God? The honor of being identified with whom God sends. In plain English, it tells you that. Now listen carefully. Do not think that I will accuse you to the Father. No need. There is one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. But they didn't trust all the way. They just made Moses their song and their dance. And they interpreted him and did what they wanted with him, the same as the Muslims do right now, and the Jews do, and the Christians do. Back in the days of Jesus, they mouthed it. But it was not a part of them because they could not believe on him whom God sent. Now listen. Do not think I will accuse you to the Father. There's one that accuses you, even Moses, in whom you trust. For had you believed Moses, you would have believed me, for he wrote of me. Now, watch what I'm trying to tell you. At the time of Jesus, they said, Moses, 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 Moses. Right? Didn't mean a thing. Nothing wrong with Moses. Not one thing wrong with Moses. They turned down God's word concerning Moses and what was to be at the end time a prophet like unto me. Now what do they do today? Paul, 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 William Branham, who's he? So you think for 1 minute that they're getting what Paul said? Don't be ridiculous. They haven't got a prayer. They haven't got a prayer. Well, Brother Bale, we got the Bible. I don't care if you got the Bible. The Jews had the Bible, and they were one nation in one place. And were millions of dog-hearted, bull-headed idiots that claimed to be Christians all over the world. And the only time they're going to get together and believe anything is when the Antichrist cracks the whip and is going to be the god of the belly. Well, you don't eat or drink. And the few foolish virgins left are going to be hunted down like dogs and die, and some of us might die ahead of them. I'm not saying. See? Now, let's go to John 5. Well, I read that, 40 to 46. We got to take that taken care of. See? So, Brother Branham is bringing us plumb up to date. Now, in 244, he said, let's take another rich young businessman, a ruler with the same opportunity that this rich young ruler had. And Moses, of course, accepted it. He accepted the leadership of Christ. Now, the word Christ there, you're using the same word Messiah. And remember, God said to Moses, we're going to go down and deliver Israel. And that was Elohim. So Elohim is the original, just the same as Jesus came in his Father's name. And let's get this flat, Jesus did not give the Father the name. Father gave the Son the name. I came in my Father's name. If he'd have been a Swede, he'd have been Jesus' son. But he was the son of Jesus. He could have been what you call Yeshua, what is that, Bar Rabbi, Bar Jeshua, the son of Jehovah. Like Bar Jonas, son of Jonas. All right. Moses accepted God. He accepted the anointing upon himself, too. Now, there's two of them in the Bible we're going to talk about. That one we see that refused it. Now, let's take this man, another rich young businessman and a ruler, and he accepted the leadership. The scripture that tells us all about this is Hebrew 11, 23 to 29. So, we might as well read it because we're not going to get very far tonight. No need to anyway. Hebrews 11, 23, 29. By faith, Moses, when he was born, was hid 3 months of his parents because they saw he was a proper child and they were not afraid of the king's commandment. By faith, Moses, when he come to years, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer affliction with the promise with the people of God than to enjoy the pleasures of sin for a season. Esteeming the reproach of Christ's greater riches than the treasures in Egypt. For he had respect unto the recompense or reward. In other words, he was going to get paid back. His investment would pay off in annuities that you and I could only dream about. By faith he forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. Through faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of blood, lest he that destroyed the firstborn should touch them. By faith they passed through the Red Sea as by dry land, which the Egyptians are saying to do were drowned. Notice how it is the end time people enter into gifts that belong to the church and they take them over and they're going to be destroyed with them. You know? Did we not do miracles in your name? Now they tell me a guy in Africa went to the water and took off his shirt and he said, where's the Lord God of William Branham? Smote the waters and walked over dry shod. I believe like that, like I believe that this piece of paper here is maybe a $1 million bill. I say it possibly it could happen. I just don't believe stories anymore because everybody's looking for all of these things. And Brother Branham said, you've seen your last sign. Now, what good is it if you strike the waters, nobody's there to pass over something? I don't know. To me, there's so many crazy things being said. I'm not interested. Let's get the Bible. Let's find out what the prophet said. They don't even know what the prophet didn't know what the prophet said. Now, there are two blue moons in the sky. Don't ask me to believe anything different than what I believe. I'm just not one of these believers that move around anymore. Yeah. Moses, by faith, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to suffer the afflictions of God, esteeming the reproach of Christ greater treasures than all the treasures of Egypt. Well, esteem means to regard. So he regarded the negative, as people would call the negative, the giving up and the suffering. He figured, hey, this is far greater than this other thing.
See, the rich young ruler, he didn't think that. He said, I don't think I'll take my cross up and give this away, because I've got all of these things here, and I believe this is where I've been positionally placed by God, and I believe I can do a lot of good. In fact, I am doing a lot of good, and I'm just going to keep on doing this. And before it was all over, he grew up to be a very greedy person. No doubt dispossessing people, building bigger barns. And he got so theologically stupid, he mistook his body for his soul. He said, "Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years, eat, drink, and be merry." Well, I got news for him. The body is not the soul. If he'd have laid up treasure in heaven, he'd have been like Moses. He'd have been discerning. This man was not discerning. You tell people today, body, soul, and spirit, they don't give a rip that it actually isn't that at all. It's body, spirit, and soul. Brother Branham set the record right. I wouldn't be surprised in the very original, if you looked, you'd find Apostle Paul wrote that. Body, spirit, soul, instead of the other way. All right. Let's just go back to Exodus chapter 16. And we'll read a few verses, such as 7, 16. "And in the morning, then ye shall see the glory of the Lord. For he heareth your murmurings against the people. And what are we that you murmur against us?" And on 10, "And it came to pass, as Aaron spake unto the whole congregation of Israel, they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in the cloud." Now, they didn't get that back there in Egypt. That wasn't part of Egyptian religion. They had to get out. And they begin to see that the price they paid was minimal to what was available for them. But they still had to keep someone reminding them. That's why the Bible said we ought to talk a lot one to another and use the scripture in doing it. Spiritual psalms and hymn getting filled with the Holy Ghost more and more. 24 of Exodus and 16 and 17. "And the glory of the Lord above Mount Sinai, abode above Mount Sinai, and the cloud covered it 6 days. And the seventh day he called unto Moses out of the midst of the cloud." Since now we've had 19, we've had 666, we've had 555. Do you think pretty soon that we're going to meet the Lord in the air? It's coming right up. "And the sight of the glory of the Lord was like devouring fire on the top of the mount. And the eyes of the children of Israel, Moses went up in the midst of the cloud." And then 29 and 43, these are just some verses here that we are looking at. "And I will meet with the children of Israel, and the tabernacle shall be sanctified by my glory." So there you have it there. You find that the riches of God, which cannot be measured, but can be revealed by a true vindicated revelation, and will eventually come to a place. We will come to a place of sharing in the presence of that Shekinah glory and receiving the great and precious things of Almighty God. Let's go to John 17, and I guess it's verse 17. Brother Branham used this many times. "Sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth." So we're looking at the fact here that Moses actually chose to follow the word. Now, just stopping here a minute and going back in our thinking about the fact that Jesus was on the scene there as the one that was the called of God, that absolutely he was the one sent. Now, you will notice, if you are careful, that only the elect can put together the manifestation that comes and the word that speaks of and describes that which is to come. So that when it comes, it is invariably turned down by just about everybody until there's 0.001%, as Brother Branham said, who get a glimpse. Did you follow what I said? He that receiveth whomsoever I send, he that receiveth whatever I send. Now, Jesus Christ, as the manifestation of the word described herein, which word described him, and he lived it to the utmost, not a jot or a tittle missing, they were not able to put it together. They did it with Paul. The same as they couldn't take Jesus based on Moses, and they cannot take William Branham based on Paul. Now remember, everything goes in cycles. That which has been will be. Ecclesiastes. Neither God nor his ways change. So therefore, as they could not accept the manifestation as it came forth, even though it was letter perfect, they could not see it, they could not receive it, they died in their sins. Neither can they today, when that one comes to judge the world by Paul's gospel through Christ Jesus. And remember, he is the judge. Now, we've seen it happen this hour. So, Brother Branham says, see, he accepted eternal life. Moses esteemed, that is, he counted the cost, and he saw the glory to be greater than the reproaches. Now, notice that Moses counted the cost. Let's go to Luke 14. And in verse 31, and some of this you can see is pastoral. Verse 31, Jesus is speaking in parables of a king going to war. And he says, "Or what king going to make war against another king sitteth not down first and consulteth whether he be able with 10,000 to meet him that cometh against him with 20,000? Or else, while the other is yet a great way off, he sendeth an embassage and desireth conditions of peace. So likewise, whosoever be he of you that forsaketh not all that he hath, he cannot be my disciple." So everyone is a king in his own rights, providing you forsake everything, priests and kings unto God. But you got to count the cost. You've got to count the cost of your sowing to get the reaping you want. Now, if you're not willing to pay the price of standing back while you keep sowing and sowing, and it's hard, it's very difficult at times, if you're not willing and you don't count the cost, remember, you're like the guy that takes his hand off the plow, and God says, "My soul shall have no pleasure in him." See? Now watch carefully that most of this being spoken of by Jesus and by William Branham has to do with financial matters, the physical. And it tells you distinctly that if you cannot take care of and handle that which is not yours, that like a true servant, and the earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, so we can't say, "This is mine and that's mine, I'll go to town tomorrow, do this and I'll do that," only the Lord willing, neither will you be committed to you the true riches. How much true riches can the Laodicean age have? None. None. Their riches, so-called, have forced Christ right outside the church, and God is not with them. So therefore, when he that should come at the end time, and the visitation of God, they know the Scripture. Sure, they know the Scripture. They will quote you Ephesians 4:16, but do they know what it means? No, they don't know what it means. They're a bunch of Trinitarians or oneness. Do you realize that Brother Branham said the greatest revelation under the seventh seal that there is one God? How many know that? Well, some of you are too sleepy to even know it. In the name of God, how are you going to get off this earth? Where have you come from? Where you're going? What is the greatest revelation under the seventh seal? What is it? There is one God. And you must be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. So therefore, anything anybody ever knew about one God is fallacious. You think for 1 minute that Jesus only amongst us understand what I'm saying? Oh no. Danny Olson, the Allsay Levi, believes in two gods. You say, just a minute, here's exactly what Lee said. Here's exactly what Brother Branham said. Brother Branham distinctly said, sometimes Jesus was talking, and sometimes the Father was talking in him. You're like a stupid seal trying to get the smell of fish and get someone to hand him a fish. What is the greatest revelation of the seven seal? It sounds pretty pitiful, doesn't it? Huh? It sounds pretty sick. Surely there should be something greater than that. But there isn't. He said, we are not Trinitarian, we are not oneness, neither believe in two gods. And yet people can sit right here in this audience and say, well, Brother Bale, I know I've got a part of God in me. Well, what was Jesus but a part of God? Unless you make him God and become Jesus only. Eight people made the ark. Of course, you got this guy Sheely with the gram with the hot cross buns dressing the bride. And he's doing it. We got his tape. Now I'll show you one here in church. I'll bring it in. You can see it. Oh, yeah, you can see it for yourself. And his spiritual warfare, and he's talking in tongues and trying to mimic Brother Branham. He's dressing a bride. Because Lee Vail's done irreparable harm. I'm running around the world. Do I ask people to take my tapes? Do I make any appointments anywhere? Huh. He better wipe his nose clean. He might get it knocked off his face, not by me, but he'll walk in a revolving door someday. Don't tell me that you sow and you don't reap. You sow and you don't reap. How do our lovely friends out here all have AIDS and HIV? Oh, Brother Dale, it just happened. They really didn't do any sowing. They're wonderful people, you bunch of idiots. Huh? I started so nice and slow, you thought I'd be nice, didn't you? Sure fooled you. Counting the cost. Moses the king counted the cost. He said, man, ain't no comparison. Well, they say, you're going to stand with these bunch of mud daubers and identified with them. Oh, he said, you're ridiculous. I'm not identified with them. I'm just one of them, but I'm identified with God. Yeah, so he accepted eternal life. Moses esteemed the reproach of Christ greater treasures than all the treasures the world had. Now, if Jesus had to come along, not according to the Bible, and stuck with the Bible, he'd have been a hail fellow well met, and they'd have made him the high priest, no doubt, or some great big thing over the high priest even. Oh, he'd have been the greatest thing since sliced bread, and even better. Sure, just great. A God of their imaginations. A Savior of their imaginations. And you think people's changed? You got to be kidding. If they, as the closest thing to a human race, they by genetics, the children of God, they by one nation, children of God, and their own God in the person of the Son could call them serpent seed. What about us today? Well, what about it? It's all over. Eight made the ark. 5.5 billion people. Sure. Moses had esteemed that the greatest. Now, this rich man didn't. And Moses was a rich young ruler who was to become a pharaoh. Why, Moses has it better than the other guy. This guy made a lot of money. Moses could have had it all. He was Pharaoh's son, and thereby heir to the throne. And he looked out to the impossible, a bunch of mud daubers, a bunch of slaves. By faith he saw the promise of God through the word. Ha ha. See, through the word. That his people would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years, but would be brought out by a mighty hand. Now, we know that was a promise made. But even though it was a promise made, it didn't really mean anything. You know why? Because it might not have meant anything if God didn't keep his word. Now, what does God do? He doesn't just keep his word. He sends Moses down there with his word. And he lets them know the hour in which they were living. They were God's timepiece then, they're God's timepiece now. He said 400 years, which would be four generations. That generation, that time's 100 years. He said they can come out now. And Moses was happy. Because here was God in God's promise, and they were going to come out. It was marvelous. He... And his people would sojourn in a strange land for 400 years and would be brought out by a mighty hand. See? And he esteemed that what God was going to do. And God showed at that hour what he was going to do. Hallelujah. Greater riches than all the treasures of Egypt. For he forsook Egypt not knowing where he was going. He was led by Christ. He forsook. Now, the major thing is that this man is following the steps of Abraham. Get out of this place here. Well, where will I go? Well, he said, that's not important. You start going. Well, he said, how will I know when I get there? He said, oh, you'll know when you get there. Don't worry. Maybe you and I are that way. The millennium coming upon us. And we know very little. But we do know this is the hour. And we're told, just keep being good Christians. Keep moving. Keep going on. Living in the Spirit. Walking in the Spirit. Giving the Word to each other. Staying with the Word of Almighty God. And suddenly we'll know. Brother Branham said, like a sweep will come over you. And you will know. See? Now, just like his father Abraham. So, Father Abraham is over here in Romans, the fourth chapter, and 13 to 25, for the promise that he should be heir of the world was not to Abraham or received through the law, but through the righteousness of faith. And if they which were of the law be heirs, faith is made void, the promise made of none effect, because the law worketh wrath. Where no law is, there is no transgression. Therefore, it's of faith that it might be by grace to the end, the promise might be sure to all the seed. Now remember, you're also looking at whom? You're looking at Joshua. And there was committed unto Joshua at the time of the entrance a special hour of grace. And so now we've got an hour of grace the same as Abraham did, the same as Moses had. Moses had an hour of grace. And in the hour of grace, the beautiful thing, though they didn't know it, was the hour of testing, the hour of sifting. And so they left Egypt all full of their lustful sins, and they got down to Baal Peor, which, if you study the root meaning, you're going to find it refers to a woman and the consequences thereof. And so they get involved in it. And 23,000 died. That got rid of a bunch of those birds. Who needed them? Serpent seed anyway. They weren't to go in. Actually, only two over 20 went in. And that means all those kids were born in the wilderness. The young ones went in. Okay. Now, not that, but to that which is the faith of Abraham was the father of us all. That's Moses and one of the children. As it's written, I have made thee a father of many nations, before him whom believed even God, who quickens the dead and calleth those things that be not as though they were. Now, he's telling you right there, before this promise to Abraham can come into its full, extensive, and perfect manifestation, there's going to be a resurrection. And all the rest are gone. See? Who, when hope was gone, believed on in hope? In other words, there's nothing to expect. They expected it anyway. Hey, that's getting right down to nitty-gritty. What if that comes to your time and my time? Everything's gone. Well, just like the time of Jesus, they said, well, you know, it looked like he should have been the one, but evidently the events have transpired, and I guess he's not the one. And Jesus said, oh, you poor little dears, I understand perfectly. I'm sorry it had to be this way. Oh, he said, you fools and slow of heart, you complete idiots. What in the world's the matter with you anyway? Are you still back with the crowd? I'm going to tell you something. If they'd have kept on talking that way, they never would have been dressed for the wedding supper. So go with Sheely and the Regans and all their gangs. Go with them and talk Pentecost. See what kind of a dress you got on. See why the prophet told you flat. Say what I say. Well, say what I say because I'm a great man and you listen to me. Little old Kentucky hillbilly that God bless and I got to make a name for myself. So say what I say. You got to be sick. Get dressed. Oh, my. I don't say those Pentecostals. I think, thank God, my heart's Pentecost is gone, gone, gone. Oh, man. But if the Holy Ghost in His Word doesn't get there, you get seven worse devils than Pentecostals. No, there wasn't any use hoping and expecting. Yet it, so shall thy seed be. See him in the resurrection. Abraham did not get the promised land yet, not even yet. He walked on it when he came out of the dirt. I don't know where he is now. That's God's business. But he's going to gain it. And being not weak in faith, he considered his own body now dead when he's 100 years old, neither yet the deadness of Sarah's womb. Not just one thing against him, two things against him. Hey, man. He staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. So Brother Branham said, never mind your faith, just mind the word. But was strong in faith, giving God the glory and being fully persuaded that what he's promised he was able to perform. And we came right there with Brother Branham. He said, if God told me to raise Abraham Lincoln from the dead, I would go there at his tomb and let the armies of the world shoot me down if I couldn't do it. He said, I'd do it. How can a mere man talk that way? How can a mere man whirl and read a man's heart and say, aha, every disease is on your body that you put on that piece. We take them off. He said, I didn't put them on. Amen. You weren't looking at man. You're looking at God. Because God only can do those things. Brother Branham distinctly said, he said, what did Jesus mean? He had seen me seeing the Father. He said, you're looking at me, aren't you? Oh, boy, did that stagger them. Well, who do you think you are? You think you got the Holy Ghost and can come against a man like that? Why didn't you do it? He carried you up foot first. That'd have been a joke. Might open the ground, sent you straight to hell. See, Dave, you're mean. then so's God. Corey Dayton and Byron went down. Oh, you got a little special time of grace, maybe. Hey, no, you ain't. Neither have I. No, it's all over. He has spoken, the one from heaven. The next thing is consuming fire. Believe it. The next thing is consuming fire. Because God does not have a word for anybody anymore except the bride. Come out of the ground, my righteous, and you get changed. We're going to the wedding supper. And the next time, back with fire. Oh, yeah. Don't fool with God, brother, sister. Don't fool with the Lord. Being fully persuaded. Perfect faith. We've got perfect faith today, a perfect revelation. So I wish I had that. I wish I had this. Oh, the bride's undressed. Brother Branham did it, but Lee Vale undressed her. Is that a fact? Is that a fact? When did I lead you to Pentecost? When did I teach you organization? When did I take you out of this word? Word by word, scripture by scripture. Fat old grandma sitting on hot stoves and handling coals. You can have it. If you want something real good, I'll raise the money and take you to the islands where you can see that people really do some goodies. Old grandma won't be around. Paul Cain's mother jumping up and down there in her own foolish little way. And she said the angel of God stood by her bed and said, "Fear not, daughter, thou shalt not die but live. For the fruit of thy womb was a male child, and thou shalt call his name Paul. And he shall go in the power of Paul of old." And she really believed that was an angel of God. Paul Cain no more believes this Bible the right way and hasn't got "thus saith the Lord" than nothing. You say, but the woman was dying. She had her breast eaten off with cancer. She had tumors that would stop the boy from coming. She had tuberculosis. She had every kind of disease. And the Pentecostal ladies came in and prayed, and they prayed. And she was getting excited. The doctor says, oh, save your strength. She said, "What for? Why save my strength?" She was smart. Oh, she's still smart. Lots of guts. Lots of moxie. Real chutzpah. So, why save my strength? He said, "I'm dying." Where's Paul Cain today? I've got his book. His book's full of lies. Told me one thing, wrote another in his book. See, I'm a funny guy, get people's confidences. When they get through, they say, "Lee, you told me more about myself and better than I know myself." Don't fool with me. I wasn't around the prophet for nothing. I'm not trying to be somebody, just telling you, do what you want to do. God, many people don't understand my attitude. See, I'm not a pastor, I teach. The tapes go, do what they want. Sure, sir, I want to help people love people. But I've only got so much I can do. All right, here's this rich young ruler. We're going to mark it right here. And this is the... it's the third today, okay. Can't remember the dates too good. Okay, we'll get back there tomorrow morning. Took a few verses, and that's all we've got time for. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the fellowship we've had together around this last message of Prophet Buck. Realizing more and more it was a desperate hour and desperate condition. And we were in more desperate conditions and straits than we realized, because we thought this was just a little circuit out there and the man's going home, going to preach on the trail of the serpent and going to bring other messages to us. And we were going to be there rejoicing with him and going down the road, seeing more things we didn't know that the prophet had already told us. We'd already seen our last sign. There weren't going to be any more signs. And when he preached on the rapture, that capsulized and epitomized it all, Lord. It shows the whole truth. It showed the mystery that nobody knew. They guessed at, they probed at, they thought, they read it every old which way, but they never knew it. But he brought the word, Lord, and then putting these things together, we see how it all comes together. And we see, Lord, how that you're doing these things for us, and we appreciate it. We thank you for all the help you give us, Lord, every little modicum of strength, every minute or two you had given us left in our lives to preach the word and to stand with it. Maybe not making people feel too good and too happy. Maybe thinking we're too rough, and I agree that that's not only a possibility, it could absolutely be the truth. But I do believe, Lord, we're taking the truth as it is here from the Word, as the prophet brought it. Word by word, and showing that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. God never changes. His Word never changes. His ways never changes. What he sows, he reaps exactly what he sows. The men will say he sowed oats, but if he sowed wheat, you will find out, because he's going to reap wheat. Never changes. Man changes. Everything changes, Lord, but you don't change.
And we're grateful. Blessed be your holy and wonderful name. Help us to get our eyes upon you, Lord, with a true understanding of love and glory in our hearts, that your name may be uplifted and your name honored. We walk softly before you, Lord, and fulfill all your commandments, your word that you have before us by the power of the Holy Ghost within us, rejoicing and being filled day by day with the Spirit and going on. This is what we really want, Lord. I know a lot of people claim it, and they haven't got it because they just don't have it, Lord. They don't have you. They don't have the end time revelation. They talk about Paul, and they don't have him. Paul was lost in the first century. They don't even believe it. Another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. They don't believe it. They can't. They simply believe that they're fine. But, Lord, we know it isn't true. 8 people made the ark. Help the people here. Help us all to be more and more sincere, more and more godly, more inclined toward you, more loving and kind toward each other, because it's just a few of us. Help us, Lord, to get rid of the things that we know we ought to get rid of, and pray for those that also need to get rid of the things they ought to get rid of, until we're just one unity going on, bearing each other's burdens and walking in the light as you're in the light, and have fellowship with each other in the blood cleansing us. We give thee glory in Jesus' name now. Amen. 1 Corinthians, we always go there. It seems that's because Paul didn't know the first thing about these things, and God gave it to him. And you know, you got to realize that William Branham didn't know the first thing about a lot of things either, and God gave it to him. He wouldn't have known the things of the Scripture. I asked him one time about a certain thing. I said, Brother Branham, how in the world did you know that? He said, he told me. He didn't look on anybody's book. He didn't study a lot of articles. He just read it, and God spoke to him. He said, notice, this was over here, and this is over here. And that's where you learn the left hand and right hand of God, the two vines intertwined, the blessing and the cursing. You know where the Scripture said, let's see if he'll come. Maybe he'll leave us a blessing instead of a cursing. But you can't have God come without a left hand and a right hand. It's impossible. But everybody thinks it isn't. They're all mixed up. Well, he comes with the right hand and the right hand and the right hand. He'll be down with the left hand later. Hogwash. Read Malachi, the 4th chapter, the way it's written. And then remember, 2 Thessalonians chapter 1 can't be written different and be the same God, the same Bible, the same word. Can't be done. So Paul received the Lord that which he delivered them. I like the fact he delivered it to them. He came to them. He gave it to them. They didn't go seek him out, oh, great guru in the desert. We hear you're out there and we think maybe you heard from God. Nah, he went to the sheep. That the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he's betrayed, took bread. Now, you're looking at that word Lord. That Lord actually means controller. Like magistrate, the one in authority. A name above every name. See? Nothing is done in heaven that isn't done by the two of them. And one's the Son, one's the Father. And one is God, the other's not God. That's right. And the one is the adoptive son or the place son, which means that he's got 50% of everything the Father's got. But he's been brought up right. See, the devil wasn't. The devil, he got a certain portion, he says, I'm going to use it. And he used it. Jesus didn't. The Christian says, I've got a certain portion, but I'm going to let God use it in me. Then it's used right. That's why you've got all these gifts in the churches, and they're spurious, or they just don't do any good. They just cause problems. You get people putting coals of fire on Bibles and all that kind of junk and nonsense. Forget it. They don't believe in Brother Branham. They'll talk more about Daniel telling one king a dream he forgot. William Branham told many people dreams they forgot. So where does Daniel stand? Just where God put him. We can't make comparisons. As the Bible says, what's wrong with you? They're out there comparing themselves with each other all the time and comparing this and that. You don't make comparisons. You make comparisons, you'll never believe for 15 seconds that the 24 elders, 12 of them are the 12 patriarchs. Forget it. Whew. And where does David come in? I never heard of a matriarch.
get enough women running God, twisting his arm, he might get some matriarchs in the New Bible or something. A little sarcasm doesn't hurt anybody. Especially if it's good for you. I like it myself. And notice that this Lord, Jesus, was betrayed. Now, if he was betrayed back there, he's going to be betrayed now. Can't help it. As long as sin is in the world, you got these problems. Jesus is the first one that's going to be betrayed. He said, blessed is the man that's not offended in me. Ha! He's the one that gets all the offense from people. You notice when Eve was all messed up, she said, you sent the serpent, didn't he? And Cain was messed up. He said, well, you gave me her. God's very convenient to blame for everything. Yeah. But it doesn't pay. It doesn't pay. He was betrayed. What does it mean to be betrayed? He didn't do it. He's a scapegoat. Everybody else was wrong and he wasn't. But he gave thanks. He's in good spirits. And he said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. In the same manner he took the cup. When he's up saying, this is a cup of the New Testament in my blood, this do ye, so oft you drink it in remembrance of me. And there again, the Lord's Supper is not just simply say, well, you know, Jesus, God had a son, he was on earth and he died. That's not remembering him. How many have children that die? Let me see your hands. Yeah. Well, Oscar had a boy die. Ours died at 36. Do you think I remember just that he was born in our family? I remember him in the crib. I was away from home. He came home. I came home. He looked at me very strange because he'd kind of forgotten me. You just don't remember a person. You remember all about the person. So when you take communion, you don't just say, well, you know, he died. And you put everything into a manifestation, and you don't know the scripture behind the manifestation. So now you got a manifestation that's not scriptural. Now where are you? Communion self-examination. And the self-examination in my books is not, did I have a bad time this morning? Did I cuss my wife out? Did I kick the dog? You know, did I have a fight with the mailman or somebody else? Did I get so mad that I did this and I did that? We had a row, we refused to pray, and all those things. Those things aren't good. But let me tell you something. That's not it at all. Why? Because there's a substitute. There's something there ahead of all that. Something there to give you victory. So when he says, remember me, he means to remember. And you know something? Matthew wrote a whole book on him. John wrote a whole book on him in three epistles. You know that? Peter wrote two epistles. Then John was given a prophet to come on the scene. And John became a scribe in the book of Revelation. It's hard to understand, I know. But they remembered. There's a song called Remember Me. And it tells you every line under what conditions to remember. And Brother Branham said, when I'm dead, eat a rare steak and remember me. The person. Something about him that's real. Personal. A relative. The older brother. Remember. See? He gives you the two things to remember. That as oft ye eat the bread and drink this cup, you show the Lord's death till he come. And that's Revelation 19. Don't stop drinking the cup and eating the bread. Many people today say, well, he's come, he's present, and so we don't do it. I've been accused of it, and they're liars. The deacons in this church has orders. If I go haywire, I'm not here. They must have communion once a month, or I'll call them to charge. We'll kick them out. Someplace else. Because you're not worthy to be deacons. Forget it. If you can flub the dub over that, you'll flub the dub over anything.
who filled the church with longhorns and God knows what. They don't all come from Texas either. Mossback Canadians and who knows what. You know. It's serious. You remember him. That's why they did this every day, so they'd remember a lot. Brother Branham said, Branham Tabernacle, you do wrong. Every day they did this. I don't say we should do it. But maybe I should say we should do it. So you get together. I'm not making any rules, just stay with Brother Branham. You show his death. What about his death? He paid it all. The handwriting and the ordinances which were against you, they're all wiped out. You say, Lord, don't you remember I lied and I said this lie and I said that lie and I did this sin, I did that sin? No. You say, what about the man that lived with all those women out there, committed all that adultery and all? Well, you're the only one remembering it. God doesn't remember it. Do your sins be like crimson? They'll be white as snow. Remember. Remember. It's the same saying, remember now thy creed in the days of thy youth, while the evil days draw not nigh. And thou shalt have no pleasure in them. See, remembering is a tremendous factor. The kid writes a test in school, but he can't remember. Remember. Okay. Get your memory lined up with the word of Almighty God. Now he said, wherefore whoso shall eat this bread and drink the cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty. What's the guilt? They didn't remember. They didn't remember. And to really remember, you've got to know what the Lord said about the manifestation. Everybody's in love with the manifestation. The Jews were. They said, oh, they said, this guy's wonderful. Then one day they wanted to stone him. He said, why do you want to stone me? What good work? Oh, there's no... The works are great, but it's your mouth, man. It's your mouth. And he said, just a minute. You remember those works long enough, and you know I never did them. God had to do them. Your own Sanhedrin says so. But they didn't. You and they remembered? Their own creeds and dogmas. They never got dressed for the wedding supper. Remember. Remember. Not remember who you are, remember who he is. And what he means. And our identification with him. Let a man examine himself. What's your memory like tonight? What is your memory? Like the woman missionary on the train asked, it was Christmas, she asked the little girl, who's Jesus? Oh, he's a little baby in the manger. That's about what the majority of people know about Jesus today. Or he's God the Son. Hogwash, he's God the Son. If that's your memory, why you take Lord's Supper? If I'm preaching two gods, you can't get there, why do you take Lord's Supper? You know, you're drinking damnation to yourself. What we're looking at is truth. I am the way, the truth, and the life. Examine him, the truth. Now we're getting somewhere. See, all this lines with the scripture I read tonight to you. And this keeps us full of the Holy Ghost. And keeps us moving on. He that eats unworthily. How many Trinitarians take the Lord's Supper and they don't get blamed for it? Ones. They're drinking condemnation. The very thing that they should remember concerning him who was here, according to Scripture. Forget your understanding of a manifestation. Go behind what the Word says by revelation and vindication. Now you're looking at the real person. Remember. You and I said tonight is the truth. There wouldn't be one person that's not healed amongst us tonight. There wouldn't be one of us that's sick. We're not remembering. This caused why? I said, many are sickened weekly. If we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. What's he talking about? What I delivered, remember. Remember the betrayal, the night of the betrayal. Who was betrayed? The Son of God. See, all of these things are what we're looking at. This is not just simply a, this is not simply a, an extra special service once a month. This is a part of it all. See, and we're all part of it. Now, when we're judged, we're chastened of the Lord, so we not be condemned of the world. In other words, you look here and you say, man, I was wrong on that. Not just an action. Everybody goes to the action. No. But the one man once said so truly, the guy wasn't a thief because he stole. He stole because he was a thief. And Brother Branagh said, come into the world speaking lies. We don't condemn wrongdoing. I, myself and you, we don't do that. But we don't look at him. We're all the time looking at the pit and what's in it. We're supposed to turn our back on it and look to the rock from whence we are hewn. Because we are the sons of God. We are the children of God. Our souls are a part of God. We came by natural election. You know what you're doing right now? You're getting dressed. Where do you find any theologian teach that outside of a pulpit like ours based on William Branham? I never got this by myself. I was a sovereignty believer before I met Brother Branham. That's why I got such a kick out of him. But boy, I didn't know how far he went. He was in my house one day. He had breakfast before he went fishing and on a boat ride and all. And he talked for about 2 hours on sovereignty. And he said to my wife, he said, I'm going to make your husband a believer. And we thought he was both kidding. Do you think I believe for 1 minute God knew how many fleas there'd be and how many times they'd bat their eyeballs? My understanding of sovereignty was fairly good. I studied Dr. Pink. I understand Brother Branham said if he was here today, he'd leave this message. But to really understand, to really believe, to really remember him who is the Word. If you believe him, if you remember him outside of the Word, my brother, my sister, you're on the chopping block. I'm on the chopping block. But to believe him who is the Word. What am I saying now in closing? The manifestations are over. The Word lives. Stand with it. The one that died is risen and promised, one day I'm going to come back and start all over again. What did he do when he got back to earth, my dear brother, sister? He went to them and revealed to them the things of the kingdom. What will he do as our great high priest between us and God? Reveal the things of the kingdom. I'm looking for further sanctification and everything that's there. And I'm beyond my feelings. If God doesn't do it, Levi's going plumb to hell and ask God, please give me quick annihilation because, hey, nothing's worthwhile anyway. It's in his hands. What am I supposed to do? Can I suddenly jump up and down and get happy and shout? I can hardly get up and downstairs. How am I going to get around shouting and jump? I don't feel like it anyway. But I can be on fire with his word with the dross burnt out. And the life riches of Christ have the ascendancy. Well, that's where we're at tonight, brother, sister. This is just part of our life. Let's rise at this time and partake. We have the foot washing, and we got room back here in the little office, about a dozen people, and things like that. Let's the brethren come forward, and we'll just dedicate the emblems. Are the brethren here for serving then? Okay, Heavenly Father, at this time we dedicate these emblems, knowing, Lord, that your word has set it forth, and there again the mind of man would say, what is the use, what it's all about? But tonight we learn even a little more. In this simple service, Lord, as we pass through, let every heart be bowed in humility to the grace of this hour, which is the revelation as we've never had it before, to remember him who gave his life, our elder brother, who is now on the throne. And one day we'll come back to him in the great incarnation, Revelation 19, and rule and reign in the temple worship and go on and on. We want to remember him who is the Word, and remember him according to the Word, Remember, he still is the Word, and there is no change. Unto thee we give glory, Lord, as we believe for your help and this service tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.